Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. What can I get for you?
Yeah, hey, this is random, but what if I was able to talk to a dead person, but not in an evil way, like through AI?
Pull up to the second window, and we'll see you next crime.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. I am John, here with Jamie. How you doing, man?
Did you say not in an evil way or not in a weird way?
Evil. Okay. Is what I meant to say, hopefully.
I think you probably did, but in my head I was like, it's going to be weird, bro. There's no doubt.
Well, to be clear, I don't want to communicate through like a seance or anything, but today we're going to be talking about a case where they were able to use AI to represent a murder victim. And so,
yeah,
we're going to talk about that.
It's wild.
All right, man. We've got a true crime story in 10 minutes or less.
Controversy.
So, yeah, let's talk about it. So, we're going to be talking about a deadly road rage incident in Arizona. And then the victim had some unusual circumstances after his death in the sentencing phase. So, Jamie, why don't you get the ball rolling on this one?
The victim in this case name is Christopher Pelkey. He was a 34-year-old man, and he was sitting at a red light with a car behind him. The car behind him included Gabriel Horcasitas, who we're going to be talking about here today. He apparently just started honking repeatedly. And according to witnesses, Pelkey got out of his truck, walked back toward Gabriel's car, started shouting and waving his arms. So this starts out, I guess, John, like a typical road rage scene.
This was back in August of 2021, just a little after 9 p.m. And then according to witnesses, like you said, Pelkey got out of his truck, started walking towards Gabe's truck, and then Gabriel fired two shots through his open driver's side window, and one of those bullets struck Pelkey and killed him. So Gabe stayed at the scene, and he was later arrested, and he claimed that he acted in self-defense. He said that he feared for his safety and believed Pelkey was going to harm him. I mean, you know, to play devil's advocate here, you've got a guy sitting in his trunk. He's obviously upset about something. I don't know if maybe the light turned green and this guy didn't pull out, and then he started honking the horn and got mad, and the driver in front, Pelkey, got out. I we don't know the circumstance here, but regardless, Pelkey got out of his car, went to the person honking the horn, and the person honking the horn thought he was in danger, so he shot two bullets.
And he could have been in danger, and some people may be thinking, well, you can't, what I'd always heard growing up is you can't escalate it. So if he only has his fist, you only use your fist. If he only has a knife, you use a knife, so forth. That's not the law. The law is not that you cannot escalate it. If you genuinely fear for your life and are in danger, you can do what you need to do to protect yourself. The question here is, was he really in that much danger? Gabriel was charged with first-degree murder, drive-by shooting, and endangerment. I find the first-degree part kind of odd. Usually that's associated with premeditation. This seemed like a pretty quick incident. He ended up pleading not guilty, and he laid out multiple defenses, including self-defense, trying to defend other people. He even said at some point that it was an accident that the firearm went off.
So that's where things get a little tricky. No, we do know for sure that Pelkey did not have a weapon. So really, I think it's a major stretch to try to claim self-defense because, like you said, that would be escalating a situation. You took a gun to a fist fight.
Well, but he was in a car and he could have rolled his window up. There's a car between him and you.
Yes, you could have. Yeah. Maybe you were afraid, but get out of the situation. You're in a car. You can hit.
There were other options. That was not the reasonable reaction.
But this is where things kind of take a turn. In the trial, there was a major, basically, technicality that emerged. So, and this was around disclosure. So police had performed a digital extraction on Pelkey, the victim's cell phone. But the defense did not learn about that until the seventh day of the trial, after cross-examination had happened. So basically, in any trial, if if the witness or the defense has something as far as evidence goes, they have to disclose that to the other party. And they didn't do that here. So when the perpetrator's attorneys found out that the state had this guy's cell phone records, well, they wanted access to those because what if that helped their case?
It's a potential Brady violation, means for appeal, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, but you know, they're thinking, well, what if we find evidence that this guy is unhinged and he does this all the time? You know, who knows? But regardless, they didn't offer it, so there was a big technicality, and it resulted in a mistrial.
The state would appeal the decision to throw out the trial and start a new one, but the Arizona Court of Appeals upheld the ruling, and the court found that this failure to disclose the evidence was serious enough to warrant a complete mistrial and to start a new one. Eventually, Gabriel accepted a plea deal for manslaughter, and the case was moved to sentencing earlier this month in May of 2025.
And that's when something really remarkable happened. For the first time in that I'm aware of, during the sentencing hearing, the court played a video message, and it wasn't from a witness or a grieving family member, but it was from Christopher Pelkey himself. Jamie, how is that even
possible? Who is no longer alive.
Yep. He's very much dead as a result of the shooting. So what happened? How did they do this?
Yeah. So they generated this message using AI. And with permission of the court, which I think is very questionable, Pelkey's sister, Stacy, collaborated with a company to create a digital voice and a digital likeness of Pelkey using old video and audio clips, along with written statements about his beliefs, his personality, and his mannerisms. And the result was an emotional, posthumous victim impact statement delivered by Christopher Pelkey, the man himself who was shot, recreated, and, you know, these things are getting pretty good, John. It was fairly realistic, even though it was still on a screen.
Yeah, they said that it was very realistic. There was some minor issues with the mouth of Pelkey not moving exactly with the words that were being spoken, but the message was received loud and clear. I won't read the entire segment of what Pelkey said through this AI, but he did say, in another life, we would probably been friends. I believe in forgiveness and in God who forgives. I always have, and I still do. Jamie, I just want to ask you, let me tell you this first. So the courtroom went silent when this happened, and then the judge called it extraordinary and helped him better understand who the victim really was. And this actually had an impact in sentencing. So the maximum sentence was the judge wanted to do 9 years before the video was played, ended up giving the perpetrator 10 and a half years, which is the maximum sentence that he could have given him. So before the video, it was a 9-year sentence. After the video, 10 and a half. What are your thoughts on this? Is it fair? Should it be legal for this to happen?
I don't think so, because it's not, I don't love it because it's not authentic. It is, even if it's AI being used, even if you use all this previous history of the victim to train it, it's not him. So anything that comes out of that screen is a product of somebody else. So it's almost emotional manipulation by means of fraud, in my opinion, that could sway the judge. And this sets a precedent that it happened in sentencing, not on the stand. But I mean, that's a first step, right? Like, who's to say what's going to happen next? I work in software. I use AI every day of my life. I enjoy it. I think it's a great tool. I don't agree with this usage of it.
Yeah, I agree to an extent. I feel like it's not really fair. Playing this video resulted in more time given to a sentence when the judge kind of already had determined what sentence was appropriate. So I do feel like it was manipulation in that way. Perhaps after the sentence was given and there's no chance the video could have impacted the punishment, maybe then it's appropriate. But at the same time, even though it looks and sounds like the person, you have to remember it's not. So it's everything not that was said, maybe Pelkey would not have felt that way. Maybe he would have felt unforgiveness. So we're making a lot of assumptions. And yeah, I just don't love that it was done in a way that impacted the sentencing. At the same time, you know, was what this guy did okay? No, absolutely not. He, all extents and purposes, murdered another human. That's a whole other argument. I mean, some might say that, no, he was acting in self-defense and Pelkey should have never got out of the car. But yeah, this whole thing is just a mess.
Yeah, I don't like it. I think it's a step in the wrong direction. I think there are some great uses of AI out there. I don't love this one, and this will set a precedent. As far as we know, there are going to be no appeals on Gabriel's behalf, but if I was him, I would. I think this is a very dangerous precedent, and any time that they're kind of breaking ground during your case, I think you have grounds to ask questions about that. And I have to wonder, what was the judge's motivation in allowing this? Is he out here trying to become some kind of trailblazer or start something new? And why would he even tell you afterward that that changed his, made that big of a difference, which is the kind of the purpose of the victim impact statements when family members speak. But again, this could have been manipulated 1,000 different ways to be somebody that Christopher was not. And there's no way to verify, like you said. You know, I'm a pretty forgiving guy, John. I've never been shot at a traffic light. I may not be forgiving in that situation.
Yeah, this was an interesting one, Jamie, so I just wanted to bring it to the table and talk about it.
Yeah, we'll see if there are appeals coming down the line or if this changes anything else about our justice system, and we'll, of course, keep you posted on those things. But John thinks this is very intriguing, I'll say, at the least. Guys, we appreciate you. This has been A Crime Story in 10 Minutes or Less.
Would you like crime with that?
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.